The technical ability that some of the countries have in this area is quite low at the national, individual national level. So what it does is to combine all the separate abilities and expertise that you have in the different countries in such a way that and pull the those expertise together that the countries can believe, benefit at a greater level.
What level does this have in the field, on the ground, for ordinary people in the Pacific, farmers who like, say, grow cassava, sweet potato, taro and yam? What effect does this have on them?
Yes, what it does is that because it is this combined expertise and is locally focused, it addresses the local needs, especially in this era of climate change and environmental stress and disease and pest. So it develops improved varieties that the farmers can use, improved in the sense that it can be more resistant to disease and pest, and also higher yield, and address the actual needs of the local communities and the local farmers.
So how do people go about accessing the information and technical expertise in this plant breeding network?
Yes, because the plant breeding is connected to the national programs, so the information can be got through the national departments or ministries that are overseeing agriculture, and some of the sub-regional or sub-national authorities that have direct connections to the farmers. So through them, you can either distribute the material or provide information that and expertise that would help the farmers directly.
Recently, we had a terrible drought in the highlands of Papua New Guinea, and people
Yes.
actually died of starvation. There's a real need for things like drought-resistant crops, heat-resistant crops, all kinds of crops which are resistant to diseases. Is this plant breeding network able to get the right sort of seeds to the right farmers to have a real-world impact?
Yes, absolutely. That is what is targeting, essentially, these sorts of environmental stress and occurrences. Not just drought and heat resistance, but in some areas there's also this salinization, that increased salt presence in the soil. There's also breeding to resist salinity, and that's the existence of salt, more salt in the soil. So that is the idea, to ensure that farmers get crops that are suitable or that are adapted to these kind of changing environmental and soil situations.
Can you give us an example of how this plant breeding network has actually worked? Can you give us an example of an impact that you've actually had?
So it's focusing, one of the crop of focus is like taro. So they have been able to breed some varieties that can grow in drier conditions. And that has helped, especially in Papua that you gave an example of. And we're working together with the Secretariat of the Pacific Community that has a network already in extended connection to the region and to the country programs.
Now, who funds this, and do you have enough financial support to do everything you'd like to do?
No, we don't have, enough as it is, but there is a common fund that was established under the treaty that countries contribute to, and Australia has contributed to this fund recently up to $1 million Australian dollars, and this is focused for this project. So we use it, and we try to opt, to make the best use of it, to make the highest possible impact with the limited resource. That is why using this network method approach or model works best, is best approach to optimize the benefits that we can get from the limited resources that we have.
Are you getting enough support from the developed countries in our region, like Australia and New Zealand?
Yes, Australia for sure is supporting quite a lot, but incidentally, New Zealand is still not has not signed the international treaty. We hope that it will soon, but we're getting significant support, both political and material support from Australia, to help activities in the region and to support farmers in the islands in particular.